Jesus is teaching his students, and maybe you're one of them, how to live in light of the fact that they will never stop living. They will never taste death, as Jesus says. Well then, what happens? Hey everybody, welcome to the Sanctus Forum. I am Michael Stewart Robb, better known as Mike. And yeah, I try to do videos like this every week or so, or write a newsletter over at sanctus.institute. You can sign up for a newsletter. They're more behind the scenes of the Sanctus Institute. But I've been trying to write more and give more time to that writing and research. I've got some really interesting projects that I'm trying to give my time to. And I will be doing some traveling at the end of May, so I can't guarantee how much you'll be seeing of me. So maybe keep that in mind. However, speaking of writing, I did notice that the main book that I have written and somebody else published, The Kingdom Among Us, The Gospel According to Dallas Willard, is available for the Amazon Kindle for $10, I think $9.99, and that's the lowest that I've ever seen this being sold for. I'm not sure Fortress is the publisher. Yeah, they wanted to get that out there in the ebook version, so if you've been looking to read it, that looks like a pretty good way to get your hands on it, or your eyes, or whatever you do with an ebook. Get into it. Let me know what you think of it. I don't make hardly any money on this book, so don't worry about making me rich by buying it. That's certainly not happening. But today we're talking about the divine conspiracy. This is the so-called conspiracy commentaries, and today's section is about death, or the lack thereof. A section called Moving Out of Our Tent or Temporary House. Once when somebody died, I sent them a card. Well, I didn't send them when they died. That doesn't make any sense. Before they died, I sent them a card that was a In Your New Home card. And I wasn't really trying to be funny. I was trying to be theological. And I had something like this in mind. Dallas is going to try to tell us what actually is going to happen. And I think his best philosophical contribution here is to talk about consciousness. And there's this idea that maybe when you do this death thing that you're going to become unconscious. But Dallas wants to say, no, you're going to become more conscious. You're going to have way more things to pay attention to, things that are a lot more interesting than what you currently see. You're going to be more conscious. It's worth noting that consciousness is one of the philosophical topics that Dallas Willard dealt with for his whole life as a philosopher. And when he's working on Edmund Husserl is, you could say, a philosopher of consciousness. He's going to tell you what's happening in consciousness, what are the structures of consciousness and all of that. So we're in very familiar territory for Dallas Willard. Not that you have to go read all that stuff from Dallas, the philosophy and the Husserl stuff, but that's where a lot of that's coming from. He gives two pictures, and the one picture I think is very precious, this idea of a child falling asleep while everybody else is still awake, and then waking up in a new place in their bed with the sunlight, and they don't actually ever remember falling asleep. That transition just happens. It's such a precious picture. But the other one is what I wanted to talk about, and that's this idea that there are people who kind of are moving out of one room into another room, and they're in touch with both rooms. And Dallas says here, he's got a little comment here, before the widespread use of heavy sedation. It was quite common for those keeping watch, so waiting for the person to pass, to observe something like this, right? Quite common. Now, in some of his recorded messages, Dallas talks about how back in Missouri there were stories like this, and I found one of them. Now, I'm going to read this to you. Whether that's a good idea or not, I don't know, but I found this in a book here, and it is from Missouri. Here goes. I found myself floating on the ceiling up near the light bulb. I was sitting in church one Sunday evening in 6 Mile Baptist Church in Buckner, Missouri, a sleepy little town south of Liberty, where I was attending college as a ministerial student. Brother Willard, our pastor, had just pronounced the benediction when I stood, stepped into the aisle, and fell to the floor. My left lung had collapsed, and my heart had stopped beating. I died. So this Brother Willard is Dallas's older brother, J.I. Mrs. Fred Fink, registered nurse, was sitting next to me. She knew what had just happened. They quickly carried me into a Sunday school room near the rear of the church, called 911, and began praying. I left my body, and I didn't know that I was dead. I kept thinking, what are they doing to that young man down there? Two men, dressed in white, had arrived with a gurney and had placed the young man on it. One of them was pumping his chest with his hands. I watched the young man's left arm drop off the side of the gurney as the two men hurriedly wheeled him down the hallway and put him in an ambulance. I had no idea that was me. It was like I had been let out of prison. My senses were so much sharper. I could hear so much plainer and see clearly. All earthly burdens had left me. I was floating in the air, hovering up around a light fixture in the hallway, watching the scene unfold below. Everyone had concerned, frightened looks on their faces. Then the scene changed. For some reason, I started following the ambulance down the country road as it sped away. I was traveling through the air, no more than 10 feet behind the rear door of the ambulance, and could hear the siren and see the red lights flashing in front of me. All of a sudden, I felt a snap, and for a split second lost consciousness. Then I awoke back in my body while lying in the ambulance as it sped down the country road. I felt severe pain in my chest. It was like someone had stretched and snapped a rubber band inside me. My spirit had just gone back into my body. I opened my eyes and came back to life. I had been dead for about 20 minutes. Later, I gave a detailed description of what the two men dressed in white looked like. Brother Willard told me the next day, when he came to visit me in the hospital, that I had died in the Sunday school room, and that he went out into the sanctuary and announced to the congregation that I had passed away. Lynn, you should have heard the wailing and weeping. The whole church fell to their knees, and I never heard such praying in all my living days. The saints prayed me back. That's when I felt my spirit re-enter my body. Brothers and sisters, when you're dead, you're not dead. And you don't have a care in this world. I didn't want to come back. I was having too much fun. Well, I don't know the man who wrote this. I can't verify that story. But that is the kind of thing that Dallas Willard is talking about. Those kinds of stories. Obviously, that's pretty close to home there. I don't think he was present. That wasn't a church that he was working close to, but maybe he was. We don't really know. But that's the kind of stories he's talking about. One last thing I want to point out here before we go. He quotes John Henry Newman, and then he talks about what our death day, our transition day, will look like from the perspective of, well, a long time past it, sort of from the perspective of eternity. And he calls it our birthday into God's full world. It will be a very special day for us looking back, he anticipates. And that's just a wonderful image, of our death being something that is going to be potentially very good for us. Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for listening, getting all the way to the end of this. I will see you then next week, thinking, talking about death. Bye.